Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to read a few verses of scripture and then we're going to pray. We're going to get into the word of God. It says this in Luke chapter number 6. I want to pick up the account in verse number 6. It reads, "On another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. If he healed the man's hand, they would plan to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew their thoughts." How many of you know Jesus knows your thoughts? How many of you know that's incredibly comforting and incredibly terrifying? "But Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the deformed hand, 'Come, stand in front of everyone.' So the man came forward. Then Jesus said to his critics, 'I have a question for you. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them one by one and then said to the man, 'Hold out your hand.' So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At this, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him." The title of my sermon tonight, if you're taking notes, is simply this: how to heal a deformed hand. Because as much as this was a miracle that happened back then in first century Israel, I believe there's prophetic application for us in this room. And how many of you know Jesus is still in the business of healing hands? He's still in the business of taking areas of deformity, areas of vulnerability, areas of sin or weakness, and transforming it into something brand new. And I believe if you're a follower of Jesus, you've probably experienced this. How many of you know you can be a follower of Jesus and have areas of your life that still feel deformed? But I've got good news tonight, and that's that the cross still works. The empty tomb still holds power. So maybe you're in this place tonight and you're like, "Man, he's talking to me. I already know there's an area God's been convicting me about." Or maybe you're like, "To be honest, I actually feel like I'm in a pretty good degree of wholeness." I want to encourage you to still lean into what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, because our Christian journey, it's just going from one transformation to another. And so if you don't have anything in your life you need the Lord to transform, just hold on one more week and you will. Because that's the process of sanctification. We just call it Christianity. And so one last time, would you just close your eyes? Let me pray. Jesus, I pray that every area in our hearts, in our lives, that doesn't look the way you intended it to, even if the world says that's okay, but in the eyes of the Lord, if it's deformed, we pray that tonight you would bring healing power. That Nations Church Belmont would be a church of even hands, would be a church of whole people, that it won't just be a church that's a lighthouse to the community, but a hospital for those that are broken, that people would be able to come in here at a 5 p.m. service and not just find Christ and make a decision, but encounter the healing power of God and have their mind renewed, have drug addiction broken off, have alcoholism, that demon, cast out of them. Father God, whatever it is, we thank you that this is a house of healing, this is a house of wholeness, that nothing is too hard for you. So Holy Spirit, I ask that tonight in this place, would you not start it in people outside, start it in us first. We ask and pray this all in Jesus's most wonderful, powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Everyone shouted, amen. Come on, give Jesus one more clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we can do better than that. Come on, let's praise God right now one last time. Hallelujah. We love you. You guys can take your seat. Thank you, Raphael Gomba. So good on the keys. What can't he do? What can't you do, actually? Is there anything you can't do? I don't know. I can do everything. Lord, are we thankful for just humility falling on him right now? How to heal a deformed hand. You know, I felt like I had this word laid on my heart specifically for this service. Because you're, as a Belmont campus, you're in a very unique window of time. You know, this is your third 5 p.m. service. And so by many accounts, we're really in a pioneering phase. Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to pioneering, when it comes to advancement or an acceleration, how many of you know that a lot of the times it requires more of you than the past season did? Yeah. That as much as being in Egypt was bad for Israel because there was bondage, when they got set free and they had to start taking the promised land, how many of you know there were things that needed to get done? There were armies to conquer, cities to like prevail over, there was structure, there was a lot of things. And I really feel like when it comes to pioneering in God, when it comes to God using your life, because so many of us, we can stand at a youth camp or we could stand on a Sunday morning and lift a hand and say, "Yes, God, use me." And then how many of you know it feels a bit scary when God starts to use you? And very easy the next week, we're at the same altar saying, God, I feel so used. And God's like, you literally prayed this 7 days ago. But what I've found in my short tenure of life in ministry is that it's not often exhaustion or too much work that takes us out. It's the undealt with unwholeness that we take with us that corrupts us. You know, Pastor Ken Lee, our senior pastor, would often say this to me, that it's not often the boulder in your path, but the pebble in your shoe that will have the greatest impact on you down the road. That we often think, oh, we're going to expand, we're going to see more people, and, you know, what are the biggest challenges? And sometimes the biggest challenge to pioneering, sometimes the biggest challenge to actually going forward in the kingdom of God isn't even anything external. It's actually what's happening inside here. Most people don't quit serving and quit church because it was too hard work. It was because they didn't deal with their own offense. It was the internal world that led to an external decision. That's why I believe the writer of the book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Someone say weight. And sin. Someone say and sin. Which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, sometimes it is a sin issue, but sometimes it's not sin. It's just a, pardon me, it's just a weight in our life, but the impact's the same. That it will try cling closely and slow you down from your own personal race, from your own personal following of the Lord. And so whether it's sin or whether it's weight, the solution's the same, to remove it so you're uninhibited in going forward. And the effects of weights and sins, as they try to kill us, they try to take us out. But I believe that tonight, God is wanting to, in His mercy, deal with some things in us so we can run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and not just fulfill the call, but be the people God wants us to be. How do you know God is more interested in who you become than what He does through you? Jesus can ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. It wasn't any special donkey. And sometimes we're like, when we get used by God, we're like, we're the best thing ever. Sometimes we're just a donkey He chose. But sometimes the greatest testimony isn't what God did through you. It's what God did in you. And I look at this passage here. And very interestingly, I actually want to zoom in. It says this in verse number 6. It says, on another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand. Someone say right hand. Was in the synagogue. So we can conclude or interpret from the passage that it wasn't both hands, it was one hand that was deformed and the other hand was normal. He had one area of his life that was a bit messed up, but then he also had another area of his life that by all accounts is actually really good and functional. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this represents you and me at all the time. That we've got some parts of us that are actually really, really good, but then some parts of us that, if we're honest with ourselves, they're not so good. It's like, and they can both coexist at the exact same time. For example, I'm a really loving and kind person, but I actually regularly struggle with exaggeration and telling white lies. And it seems small and insignificant. Or maybe it's, I love serving in kids' ministry and I love the next generation, but I, if I'm honest, I still got offense in my heart because of that last church I was a part of. I have a great prayer life, but I haven't yet forgiven my parents what they did to me when I was younger. I'm great at preaching and I love the opportunity to MC, but I'm really insecure and I need people to validate me every single time I do it. I serve at church a lot, but my personal relationship with Christ isn't what I know it should be. I love people really well in my world, but I have a short fuse at home and I struggle with anger around my family. Maybe it's a little bit more serious than this. Maybe it's people get healed when I pray for them, but when I'm by myself, I'm engaging in content online that I know is sinful and I can't break out of it. Maybe I give at every Building Our Future and I love that I'm a part of seeing our church take ground. But also, if I'm totally honest, I've got a bit of a gambling problem and my spouse doesn't even know about it. See, these two realities can exist at the same time. And whatever the deformed hand is, whether it's the worst of sins or something insignificant, I believe it's the will of Jesus to bring wholeness to that area. And oftentimes it's not the hard work of the future, it's the deformity you're already carrying that will in itself try and take you out. And so I want to spend the rest of our time tonight just talking about how to heal a deformed hand and a couple of points I noticed from this passage of how Jesus healed a hand. Are you guys doing okay so far? I know it's a pretty heavy, strong word. I know we kind of jump straight in, but I just get the sense this is a mature room. I get the sense there are people that love Jesus here. I get the sense there are people that came tonight that didn't come to attend church, but came to do business with God. Hello? So point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, is simply this: show Jesus. Verse number 10, he looked around at them one by one and said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. What I find challenging about this passage is Jesus never told him which hand to hold out. The Bible said he had a deformed right hand. Presumably it was probably hidden under a cloak because he doesn't want people to look at him. You know, there's stigma around having physical disability in that age more so than there is now. And Jesus doesn't say, hold out your deformity. He says, hold out your hand. And he's faced with this moment of opportunity of, am I going to show Jesus the best of me? Or am I going to get a little bit real and vulnerable and expose what I don't even like about myself? See, if you want to have a hand of deformity healed in your life, point number one, you got to get honest before God. You got to show Jesus that thing. You got to actually get real before God. And it's we got to, I guess, in a lot of regards, drop the facades in the presence of God. And sometimes I've been there before and it's like, yeah, God, I'm doing so well. You know, I've been reading my Bible so strong. And it's like, if I'm totally honest, I've been battling shame, or I've been battling insecurity, or I've been battling fear. And there's just something about a heart of honesty that attracts the grace of God towards it. The Bible says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And when you come with a heart of honesty and vulnerability, no matter how much you don't even like what you're carrying, God will meet you at that point. See, God will only heal what you're willing to reveal. And so many people come to church, come to the presence of Jesus with their deformed hands hidden inside of their cloaks, and they lift their good hands and they're like, yeah, praise you, God. God, life's going well. How are you, brother? Good to see you. And they leave the exact same way. Why? Because the hand remained hidden. I want to challenge you tonight that if you want to get real about healing an area of insecurity, vulnerability, sin, whatever you want to call it in your life, number one, you got to show Jesus. And you know, we live in a social media age which is consumed with showing the best of you to everyone. But we don't live in a social media kingdom. We live in a Jesus kingdom. And you know, it's hard because we naturally want to present really well. It's why we dress up. It's why we take good photos, like not that angle, this angle. Thank you very much, you know. But you got to come into the presence of God with an honesty. It says, God, you can have my worst angles. You can have it all. And maybe you're like, but Matt, you literally said before, like God sees everything, and he does. God, there's nothing you can tell God that will surprise him. Because the Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. So even the thing that you've done that you wish you didn't do, that you haven't told anyone about, he already knows. How encouraging is the Bible sometimes? Nothing is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are all accountable. See, God knows everything, but he invites us to take the posture of honesty. Just because he knows what's going on, there's still a part you have to play in actually being honest in your heart towards him. He's not looking for performance or show. He's looking for vulnerability and authenticity and honesty that gets vulnerable before him. That's why in the book of Mark, blind Bartimaeus got called to come to Jesus. He threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. As if he didn't know he was blind. As if the Son of God didn't realize that blind Bartimaeus, who literally stumbled over because he couldn't see, who was wearing a beggar's cloak because he was blind, as if Jesus didn't know what was going on already. See, friend, I want to encourage you tonight. God already knows everything that's going on. That's why the psalmist says, you see my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it all together. God already knows. But he's looking for a heart of honesty in you. That Bartimaeus had to get to the point of saying, my rabbi, I want to see. And as he got honest about his desire, breakthrough came to him. See, point number one, if you want to heal a deformed hand, we got to be honest and vulnerable. We got to, number one, show Jesus. Verse number 8, I find it interesting in this account that how Jesus really did it. It says that Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. So the man came forward. Could you imagine being in the synagogue that day? It's probably like, let's be real, probably about this amount of people in the room. Is it all good? If not, do I have permission to come down on the floor? Oh my gosh, here we go. We gotta go. Ah. Could you imagine sitting there in a synagogue like this, and Jesus is like, "Hey, let's go. Yeah, Kara, I want you to stand up right now." Oh, poor Kara. Yeah, go on, go on. Now, Nations Church Belmont, say hi, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
Kara, are you feeling comfortable right now? No. Great. Sit down. Okay. Round of applause for Kara, everyone. Good thing I didn't choose the extrovert. That was like, I'm loving it, you know? But there's something about being in a room where it's like, oh my gosh, all eyes are on me. It gets uncomfortable, right? Yeah. What's funny is Jesus doesn't just get the guy to stand up. He's like, can we put up verse 8 again, if that's okay? What does Jesus say? He says, Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. See, this guy needed to not just be honest in the presence of Jesus. He had to be honest in the presence of other people too. So point number one is show Jesus, but point number two is just as powerful, show somebody else. See, he had to bring out his deformity, not just to the King of Kings, but to his own synagogue leader. He had to bring out his deformity, not just to Jesus the Messiah, but to his connect group leader sitting three steps away, to his siblings, to his family members. See, there's something powerful about the Christian who fears God more than he fears people. And so he doesn't allow shame to keep him bound, but actually gets honest in the presence of somebody else. I love it. It says this in the book of James, chapter number 5, verse number 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Someone say healed. It doesn't say that you might be forgiven. It's not a forgiveness issue. Forgiveness is only through the cross of Christ, friend. But what I've learned about Jesus is he often heals his body through his body. And so you can go to heaven when you die all you want, but sometimes freedom is on the other side of your honesty to another brother or sister in Christ. Can I just say, this is why we have Connect Groups Church. This is why we have young adult hangs after a 5 p.m. This is why we have times. It's why we do play groups. Why? Because we need spaces to come together and not just be honest before God, but be honest towards someone else. That's why we have pastoral team come up the front and pray for us after the service. It's not just because they're the only people that can pray and no one else can. No, there's something powerful about you being honest and vulnerable with the right safe person. The Bible says in James 5:16 that you may be healed. See, the purpose of confession isn't to shame you, friend, it's to heal you. There's something about getting honest, not just in the presence of God, but in the presence of people that delivers. I want to bring a confession to the room. When I was 11 years old, moved from New Zealand to Australia, and I was in the transition. I went into the year above my age, and so I was 11 turning 12, but I went into year 8 rather than into year 7. And in my naivety, I came up with a genius idea. I felt like I was going to not fit in because I was younger. So I came up with this watertight plan, and it was this. I'm just going to tell everyone I'm already 12 and I'm turning 13 this year. Genius, right? I don't know what it is about young people, but we come up with the best ideas. And so started at school. The only problem was I ended up going to youth ministry, and at youth ministry, the first question they ask is, so what's your date of birth? And I had to backtrack because I'm born in 95. I was like, wait. I was born 15th August 1994. Whew, you know, your heart's racing. It's like, we're doing it now. We're in the middle of it. And okay, no worries. They check in. And I'm now, you know, in the year 8 Connect group. I'm now in the 12 to 13. I told all my friends it's happening. The only problem was when you start a lie, no one tells you when to stop a lie. Have you ever been there before? And so fast forward 2 years later, I'm now 14 telling everyone I'm 15, and it's just gotten out of hand. And I feel silly because I'm like a Christian at youth ministry. I got connect leaders that I'm like talking to about stuff. And I feel the Lord put on my heart one day, hey, Matt, you need to tell your connect group leader you've been lying about your age for the last few years. And I was like, who here is in this place ever had the Lord tell you to confess something and you didn't want to do it? And so I was like, I was nervous. My connect group leader was actually Pastor Shannon Hopper. And so, you know, some could say it's a good thing. Some could say otherwise, you never know. And so I gave him a call, he didn't answer, and I was like, the Lord's mercy, you know? And I felt the Lord say, no, send him a text and say you got something you need to tell him. That way you can't get out of it later. I was like, okay. So I pushed up my Nokia 6280. Let's go. You know, hitting all the numbers to try and get the words out. Texted, hey, bro, if you give me a call back, there's just something I need to tell you. He calls back like an hour and a half later, and I was like, okay. And I literally chatted with him about nothing on the phone for about 30 minutes. And then it got to the point where I was like, sweet, I think that's it. I think we're done. And then he says, hey, so there was something you said you needed to tell me. And I was like, oh, yeah. My heart sunk in my chest. And after about 10 minutes of deep breathing down the other side of the phone, I finally mustered up the courage to be like, okay, Shannon, I don't know how to tell you this, but for the last few years I've been lying to you, and I'm not actually 14, I'm 13. You know, it's like slow motion in my mind right now. I'm just imagining the worst thing ever. His response over the phone was like, oh, bro. Bro. And I was like, oh, no. And he's like, I don't think we can be friends anymore. And I was like, I knew it. Oh, I knew it. He's going to kick me out of church. They're gonna take photos of me and stick it on the front door of Nations like they do in Chinese restaurants, being like, don't let him come back in. You know, he lies about his age. And they're going to plaster it all over every church in Perth so I can't go anywhere. And then I'm going to be homeless before I know. I'm just, you know, catastrophizing. And while I'm thinking this through, he just says all of a sudden, that's all good, bro. I'm only kidding. I don't even care. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And he's like, no, I mean, I hope in future, you know, you don't lie to me, but honestly, it's all good, bro. Like, it's fine. And I'll never forget that immense weight of relief. Something broke off my life that day. Something lifted off in that moment. Not just because I confessed it to Jesus, which I already have, but because I actually confessed it to a brother in Christ, to a man of God, or a sister in Christ. See, sometimes your healing isn't just in your confession to the Lord, it's in your confession to His people. And God, thank goodness for that experience, because it's petrified me of ever lying ever again. So, you know, I'm now 1 week clean. Had a relapse, but you know, no, I'm kidding. I don't really feel like I lie a lot. Point number one, show Jesus. Point number two, show somebody else. And I just want to encourage you on the show somebody else. You know, you can be around people but not be honest with people. So I want to, with everything inside my heart, encourage you to attend Connect, yes, but don't just attend Connect, be honest and connect. I want to challenge every single person in this room to make it a priority and commitment to be in the house of God every single Sunday. Don't be a family where it's like, if it's convenient. No, teach your kids the house of God is sacred and holy. But don't just be in the house of God, be honest in the house of God. Don't just serve in church, be honest in church. Don't just go to go nights, be honest in go nights, because we can do the right things, but we need to be honest in those spaces. And there's something about a heart of honesty that brings freedom to us and to those around us. So why we have connect groups, it's why we have these spaces. So I'd love to invite the worship team to come up and join me. But point number one is show Jesus. Point number two is show somebody else. And point number three, simply this, do whatever He tells you to do. You know, one thing I've learned about the Lord is when He brings breakthrough into our lives, sometimes it's instant and sometimes it isn't. But both are powerful and have Jesus in them. And sometimes we can hear the testimony about the person who prayed once and God delivered them. And we look at our lives and it's like, well, I've been struggling with that for 6 months. God, where are you? And I think about this account in John chapter 9 of how Jesus heals a blind man. It says this, that as Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been born blind from birth. Rabbi, the disciples asked Him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Jesus says it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. And then it gets really interesting. Verse number 6, then He spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Have you ever thought of actually being in this account? We're all like, oh, no, that's cool. Jesus doing his thing. Could you imagine if you came one Sunday morning or one Sunday evening and you needed a breakthrough in your life? And you're like, oh, you know, and then there's dear old elder Jenny, sorry, up the front. It's like, Jenny, would you pray for me? I'm just struggling with anxiety. She's like, I'll pray. Like, just because I know it sounds crazy, but that's the reality of the scripture. Like, they would have news articles being written, local preacher spits in vulnerable people's eyes, you know? It would be everywhere. And if I was the blind man, I don't know about you, I would feel slightly on the hard done by side. Especially if I've heard about blind Bartimaeus, who literally, you know, has one conversation with Jesus. He's like, what do you want me to do? And it's like, I want to see. And he's like, your faith healed you. And he's like, okay, brilliant. You're this blind guy. You hear Jesus coming. You're like, I'm ready to answer this question. I know I want to see Jesus. And he doesn't just spit. He spits in the mud, in the dirt, and makes mud. And then he puts the mud in his eyes. See, sometimes you can come to an altar. Sometimes you can come to a moment with Jesus and you enter in blind and then you leave blind and with mud in your eyes. And you leave in what feels like a worse condition than how you came, unless you realize the miracle's in the mud. You leave and feel like, man, that wasn't even worth it, unless you realize God is working in the midst of it. The Bible said that the blind man went and washed and he came back seeing. See, he didn't get healed as he showed Jesus his issue, though he did. He didn't get healed as he showed someone else's issue, though he was honest with people, but he got healed as he obeyed what Jesus asked him to do. See, number one, we need to show Jesus. Number two, we need to show somebody else. But number three, we've actually got to do what God asks and commands us to do. Verse 7 says, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. See, Siloam was a pool, and it was about a 40-minute journey from where they were. And how do you know 40 minutes is a lot of minutes when you're blind? So this guy has to stumble through the streets of Jerusalem. Can't see, no one helping him, feeling his way. Until finally he arrives at these waters. Then he has to get into the water in front of people. People be like, what is this guy? It's the middle of the day. What? He's a blind. Someone help him. He doesn't know how to swim. He's been born blind. Of course he doesn't know how to swim. He gets himself into the waters. And the Bible says that as he did, he came back seeing. See, both Bartimaeus and this man in John 9 experienced the healing power of Jesus. Just the package was slightly different. I want to encourage you in this room tonight, just because the package is slightly different, don't think God's any less a part of it. Sometimes God will heal you in one moment in a connect group as you get honest. Sometimes God will put mud in your eyes, and as you obey His voice, you'll find breakthrough on the journey. And both are biblical and both are good. And we can't compare our testimonies to each other, but we can celebrate our testimonies and give glory to God. Amen. Feel to really just share this testimony quick. I remember years ago, and just looking around the room, I'll just keep it PG just for the sake of teenagers in the room. But when I was a lot younger, I had an addiction to online lustful content, just to keep it kind of so you understand what I'm saying. And I tried ages to, you know, break free and, you know, get healed, and I just couldn't do it. And, you know, chatting with connect group leaders and things like that, and coming to altar calls, and just nothing was working. And it was like, God, what's going on? And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart and telling me, Matt, I want you to do a 10-day fast. And so I did a 10-day fast. And I was, you know, praying and reading my Bible. And I'm on the other side of that fast. And I'm like, am I good? Am I fixed? I don't know. I don't feel any different. And then after that, a few weeks later, I just happened to be at this conference. It's like a huge conference, like thousands of people. And have you ever been in a service and it was like, everything the guy or the girl was saying was just hitting your heart the whole way through? It was like even before they got up, the worship, it's just like God was on your case that week. It was one of those services. So I'm sitting there in my seat trembling as this guy's talking about breaking free out of prisons that have held you bound. And I'm like, I've been in a prison of sin. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love God, but I can't get out of this addiction myself. And then I'll never forget, at the end of the service, he invited people, hey, if you want to get free, would you come forward? And I was one of the first up the front, but there's thousands of people in this huge hall. And so they're like, bodies pressed right up there. We got hands lifted. I'm praying and crying out. And, you know, he says a prayer for freedom. And I'm like, all right, amen. I'm like, was that it? I don't really know. I don't really feel any different. And we just kept worshiping. And I'll never forget, I just fixed my eyes on Jesus. And I just felt the anointing coming on me so strong. And this guy who was preaching walked over to where I was and just placed hands on my head. And as he did, I just felt this current of God's presence coming through me. And I began to shake and shake and shake. And no one taught me to do this. I'd never really even seen this. But I started shaking. And then out of my mouth, involuntarily, I screamed. And I was like, ah! And as I did, I fell to the floor. And I was on the ground. I was like, oh my gosh, I think something just broke in my life. I want to say I've been totally set free since that moment. I'm still free to this day. And it's not, I didn't set me free. It's Jesus who sets free. But sometimes he sets free instantly. Sometimes he sets free on a journey. But I want to say the power of God's in both of them. And I had to show Jesus. I had to show my brothers and sisters or connect group leaders at the time, trusted mentors in my life. But it got to a point where I had to actually obey what God told me to do. So if you want to heal any area of deformity, yes, be honest with God. Yes, be honest with people. But number three, actually do what he asks you to do. Because sometimes the breakthrough will come in one person's prayer at an altar. Sometimes the prayer is, I just feel the Lord's leading you to counseling. And as you go and sit in that counselor's chair and let your dignity and pride die a little, allow the Lord to break your hip. Allow the Lord to have his work of circumcising your flesh off you. As you obey him, as he went, he was healed. The lepers that Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they actually went. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Sometimes God heals in the moment. Sometimes he heals after the moment, but it happens through obedience. So I just want to encourage you, if you're in this place tonight and there's an area of unwholeness that you're grappling with, show Jesus. Show a trusted youth, young people. Listen to me for a moment. I want to tell you, your connect group leaders aren't just older brothers and friends. They are there to be safe places for you to confide in. I want to speak to our young adults in the room, and I want to tell you, you know, your young adult leaders, your pastors, your young adult pastors in this room, they're there as listening ears to actually be a place you can be accountable towards. I want to say to adults in the room that maybe you're not as young as the young adults are. None of us get to grow out of being honest before God. And if you don't have someone that you can be honest with, I want to challenge you to pray, God, provide for me someone I can be authentic with. And you'll find he's already placed them in your life. Point number one, show Jesus. Point number two, show somebody else. Point number three, do whatever he asks you to do. Would you stand to your feet, close your books all across this place? My time's coming to an end. Thanks, worship team, if you could join me. Would you lift your hands? Sometimes your breakthrough is on the other side of your vulnerability to Jesus. Sometimes your breakthrough is on the other side of your vulnerability to someone else. Sometimes it's on the other side of your obedience to his voice. And I feel like with all eyes closed and head bowed in this room, I feel like some of you are going to have your honesty moment with Jesus tonight. Well, you just get real. God can see it, but you need to get honest about it and call it what it is. I have a screen addiction. I have a problem with gossip. I'm harboring offense. I'm carrying bitterness. I've got an addiction. I've got an orphaned heart. I've got sin in my life. Some of you, God's going to speak to you about showing other people. Your breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. And some of you today, your first day in journeying into full freedom, it's going to happen. He might tell you about developing an honest discipleship relationship. He might tell you to plug into a connect. He might tell you to fast. He might tell you to pray. He might tell you to confide in your spouse and pray together. He might tell you to seek him in a certain way. I'm not going to prescribe what the Lord asks, because it's not in the method, it's in the man. It's hearing his voice that brings breakthrough. I want to pray for various groups of people in this place. And right from the outset, we're going to do a salvation appeal, all that in just a moment. But I just really want to pray for everyone, which is honestly probably all of us in this room. But if you're here tonight and there's an area of deformity in your life, and maybe it's not the wildest sin, it's just an area that you know isn't whole. Maybe it's your short fuse. Maybe it's your short temper you have at home. Maybe it's the bitterness that you're carrying. Maybe it's an orphan spirit. Maybe it's literal trauma from things that never should have happened to you, and it's affecting your relational world. So maybe it's not a sin, maybe it's weight, or maybe it is a sin. Maybe it is an addiction you're bound with. Maybe it is a habit you have in your life. If there is an area in your life, you can be a pastor in this room, you can be a new person, it's your first time here, but if there's an hand in your life and it's a little bit deformed, I believe God wants to touch you right where you are, all across this place. Would you just lift two hands to heaven? I want to pray for us as a church. And as a church, can we just, with faith, say this prayer out loud? Say, dear Jesus, I give you access to all of my life. Come and be Lord, not only of the good parts, but be Lord of the deformed parts. Heal me, cleanse me, make me new. I want to look like you. I don't only want to proclaim Jesus. I want to become like Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come. Do whatever you want. Have your way in me. Have your way in my body. Have your way in my mind. Have your way in my soul. I yield myself completely over to you. I love you, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.